Next, we're going to hear from Joe Bannister, a CPA who was an IRS special investigator whose job was to stop individuals from crossing the lines which the tax code tries to set as limits to our financial behavior. His remarkable story is a great encouragement to anyone who demands to know the truth behind the threats of the IRS. It should be noted that Joe Bannister is not an IGP educator, but has allowed us to share this important information with you for this course.
My name is Joe Bannister, and I would like to describe to you how many of the same topics you will learn about in this course changed my life forever. You see, it was only a few short months ago that I carried a gun and a badge as a special agent for the Internal Revenue Service Criminal Investigation Division. For 5.5 years, my job consisted of investigating, arresting, and assisting in the prosecution and incarceration of people who violated the federal income tax laws. There was a time when I believed that I would spend an entire career as a federal law enforcement officer doing my part to make sure people paid their quote-unquote fair share of the federal income tax. I had good reason to hold that belief. I was good at what I did, and I enjoyed my job immensely. I investigated organized crime syndicates, drug smugglers, money launderers, and tax evaders. I traveled around the country gathering evidence against the targets of my investigations. I worked side by side with special agents from the FBI, the DEA, the INS, the U.S. Customs Service, the U.S. Secret Service, and the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. I worked with postal inspectors, deputy U.S. marshals, and state and local police officers. I enjoyed being a law enforcement officer, not only because it was exciting work, but because I believed I was using my financial skills to serve my country and fight crime. In December of 1996, however, the job satisfaction I had experienced as a federal agent began to slowly but steadily erode. The gradual erosion of my job satisfaction occurred primarily because my eyes were opened to the true nature of the federal income tax, as well as the federal banking and monetary systems. Providing you with a little more background about myself may help you to understand what an incredible transformation I have experienced in my life, and how my belief system was shaken to its very foundations. In 1991, after becoming licensed as a Certified Public Accountant, or CPA, I decided that I had had enough of being an accountant and wanted to add some excitement to my life. I applied to become a special agent for the FBI. A close friend suggested that just in case the FBI didn't have room for me, I should apply to at least one other federal law enforcement agency. Because my expertise was primarily in taxation, I chose to send an application to the IRS Criminal Investigation Division, just in case my FBI application wasn't successful. What a fateful decision that was. I sent in my application to the FBI and performed quite well in their recruiting process, but as luck would have it, the FBI experienced a hiring freeze, and after waiting over 2 years for the freeze to be lifted, I began to think that all hope was lost. But just when I was about to give up hope of ever becoming a federal agent, the IRS Criminal Investigation Division called and offered me a job as a special agent. At first, the idea of becoming an IRS special agent didn't sound too appealing to me. But after doing a little research, I discovered that the job actually had some appealing qualities. Although not as well known as the FBI, the IRS Criminal Investigation Division, or IRS-CID, enforced some very interesting federal laws. IRS special agents carried 6-hour 9mm handguns and, when necessary, 12-gauge shotguns. As a special agent, I was issued handcuffs, a bulletproof vest, and was given the authority to investigate some very well-known tax evaders and money launderers. I accepted the employment offer from the IRS Criminal Investigation Division and was sworn in November of 1993. My swearing-in ceremony was very special to me because I took a solemn oath to support and defend the U.S. Constitution, and I took that oath very seriously. However, I didn't realize until about 3 years into my career just how seriously I took that oath. As I said earlier, something happened in December of 1996 that changed forever my feelings about the job I had worked so hard to get. What happened is that I heard a person on an otherwise credible radio talk show claim that the payment of federal income tax and the filing of federal income tax returns was voluntary for most people. I'm sure you can imagine my reaction. At the time, I was carrying a gun and a badge for an agency that put people in prison for not paying their federal income taxes. I thought to myself, what is this person saying? The federal income tax voluntary for most people? That was the most outrageous and unbelievable claim I had ever heard. I set out to prove that what this person said was wrong. I vowed to prove that it was absolutely mandatory for all Americans to comply with the federal income tax laws. However, after 2 years of research, I could not prove that complying with the federal income tax was mandatory. It has been claimed that there is no statutory law that makes most Americans liable for the federal income tax. Despite my best efforts to prove this claim wrong, I have been unable to do so. It has also been claimed that there is no statutory law that requires most Americans to have income taxes withheld from their paycheck. Despite my best efforts to prove this claim wrong, I have been unable to do so. There have been dozens of other claims that I initially believed would be false, but I later found to be true. I soon realized that the IRS, as an agency, relied much more heavily on fear, intimidation, deceit, and confusion than on statutory law and legal authority. I began to view my role in the IRS Criminal Investigation Division more as an enforcer to be feared than an enforcer defending the U.S. Treasury. In February of 1999, I found that my worst fears about what the Internal Revenue Service really stood for had come true. During the 2.5 years I spent researching the claims that the federal income tax was voluntary for most people, I compiled all of the evidence I had accumulated into a report. Once I felt sure of my conclusions, I decided to submit that report to my supervisors and to the Commissioner of the Internal Revenue Service with a request that they show me the error, if any, of my analysis. I pleaded with IRS officials to help me understand why claims about the voluntary nature of the federal income tax, claims that I originally thought were outrageous and unbelievable, made so much sense to me. I very clearly advised these same IRS officials that should they choose not to address my moral and ethical concerns, that I would be forced to resign because, as a federal law enforcement officer sworn to support and defend the U.S. Constitution, I could not knowingly violate my oath of office. Sadly, and very disappointing to me, the IRS refused to address my concerns and provided me with my resignation papers. On February 25, 1999, I resigned from my position as a special agent in the IRS Criminal Investigation Division. I was asked to tell you my story to make some very important points. Among them are these. You may find many of the topics in this course outrageous and unbelievable. I certainly can't vouch for the truth of every topic, and I'm not encouraging you to stop paying your federal income taxes tomorrow. But I can tell you this. I thought people who talked about issues relating to the voluntary nature of the federal income tax and the constitutional limitations on federal taxing power were woefully misinformed. Through careful research, I came to discover that they were not woefully misinformed, and if anything, I discovered that despite my IRS-issued gun and badge, I was the one who was woefully misinformed. I learned the truth, and I don't carry a gun and badge for the IRS any longer. I can assure you that learning about your constitutional rights is well worth your effort. You will discover that the collective apathy we Americans have about our God-given freedoms will eventually lead to the end of those freedoms. As a former member of the tax police in an ever-encroaching police state, I can assure you that those at the top of the various power structures in our government care little about your freedom. It is up to you to defend your freedom from all who would take it from you. Your best defense is knowledge. It is knowledge that showed me that the agency I was employed by was not actively supporting and defending your property, your rights, and your freedom. Educate yourself about what freedom truly is and verify everything you learn from this course. But don't be surprised if much of it turns out to be true. I wish you the best of luck as you rediscover your freedom.